This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. What has 14 legs and spikes all along its back? Well, if you're stumped, so are scientists. They're trying to figure out that for themselves. What they do know is that it's a worm called Hallucigenia that lived in the Cambrian Sea 500 million years ago. Scientists have been trying heads or tails. They've been trying to figure that out because literally they don't know what the head, which end is the tail or the head. And from the fossils they've found, they can't tell. But research published in Nature sheds light on how the worm might be related to modern animals. Martin Smith is an author on that paper and junior research fellow in earth science at the University of Cambridge in Cambridge, the UK. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks for having me.
From the illustrations that I've seen, it looks like a creature from a Dr. Seuss book.
It's completely out of this world, isn't it? It's the bizarrest organism you're likely to see, I think.
Give us, for our listeners, a thumbnail sketch of what it looks like.
So if you can imagine maybe a drinking straw with seven pairs of toothpicks sticking out of the back and seven sort of pipe cleaner legs dangling from the bottom, you're sort of getting somewhere towards imagining what it might have looked like.
And it was are fossils for this worm found all over the world?
Well, parts of the worm are. The spines along its back are really tough, and so they get all around the fossil record and show that the worm was actually very widespread. But fossils that actually preserve all the soft parts are really much rarer. Of course, it's very unusual for all the sort of soft, squishy tissue not to decay straight away. So they're only found in a couple of deposits, and the fossils we've been working on are from the Canadian Rockies.
Our number, 844-724-8255, 844-SCI-TALK, talking about this worm. You can't find it in your backyard now. What is the closest? It's 500 million years? When did, you know, the latest one exist?
Well, that's about as much as we know. We've not got any records of them after that. So, yeah, sort of 400 million years before the dinosaurs. So it's a long time ago, just when life's starting to get complicated, really.
And why can't you get heads or tails, tell which is the front or the back end?
Well, the fossils are pretty hard to work with. The way they're preserved, they just look like a sort of black smear on black rock, basically, which makes them kind of hard to interpret. And when it was first described, we didn't even know which way up it was. So the way it was squashed in the rock, it was sort of half buried. So one side of its legs were actually buried in the rock. So we could see the two pairs of spines and sort of one pair of legs along its back. So the scientists who described it back in the 70s thought, well, how can this work? These spines must be its legs because they come in pairs. So he reconstructs it completely upside down. It wasn't until much later that another scientist, Lars Ramskjold, came along and thought, yeah, this is just a little bit too weird, and thought, let's see what happens if we dig away at, you know, drill into the rock, and he exposed that second pair of legs. So that got it the right way up. But the front and back, well, it's still sort of an open question. One end of the worm is very often sort of covered in this dark stain that seems to represent sort of decay fluids. So it's almost as if the animal started to decay a little bit, and when it got squashed flat, all the, you know, gooey innards got squeezed out one end or the other and sort of obscure the anatomy of that end of the body. So it still remains really a bit of a puzzle in that respect.
So for the last 40 years, scientists have been working on this problem?
That's right, on and off. And really what it's taken is new material that's sort of continually being recovered from the Rockies and a new way of looking at the fossils to sort of make any sense of it, I suppose.
And you looked at the claws of this worm to try to place it on the evolutionary tree. Why claws? What did claws tell you?
Well, it started out, actually, we were looking at the structure of the spines to see if we might be able to find those elsewhere.
Yeah.
And we saw that the spines were made of these sort of weird stacks of elements. So it's a little bit like a pile of ice cream cones, maybe. And we thought, well, this is pretty weird. Where else, you know, where else in the animal kingdom do you see something like this? We were completely stumped. So we went through the literature and looked through loads of old papers. And we saw a modern group called the velvet worms showed something similar in their claws. And so this is a group of worms, yeah, maybe an inch long. They live in rainforests today. They're pretty unusual. But we thought, hey, that's something interesting. But, you know, hey, a claw isn't a spine. So is this just coincidence? So we went back to the Hallucigenia fossils and looked at their claws. And, well, yeah, frankly, it's amazing. You hold up a picture of a Hallucigenia claw next to a picture of a velvet worm claw, and you can scarcely tell the difference, except one's a fossil from 500 million years ago and one's crawling through the leaf litter in the rainforest today.
So is there something that, you know, that the scientists get around, they meet each other over 40 years and say, how's that research going with that worm? You know, I mean, why focus so much attention on this worm?
Well, it's important to look at these mysteries, because often things that look weird can tell us something unexpected. So what we've now done through an analysis, not just based on the claws, but based on lots of other anatomical details, is we've sort of reconstructed the family tree of the velvet worms and of some of their close relatives, which include the arthropods. So that's the group that contains insects, spiders, lobsters, creepy crawlies, one of the most diverse groups alive today. Now, because they evolved so long ago, the lineage is diversified. Yeah, we don't really have that much constraint on exactly what their common ancestor looked like, what the early stages of their evolution involved, mm-hmm. and how they sort of accumulated the very complex and diverse body plans that they have today. So it's really by looking at these early weird fossils that we can get that insight on the very early evolution of these groups.
Now, they must have had other weird little creatures living with them in that 500 million year period.
That's right, yes. If you look at the Cambrian Sea, you know, evolution's had so long to change things from what was there to what's alive today. So viewed with the modern modern eyes, Cambrian life looks very weird. So there's all sorts of things. There's a creature called Anomalocaris that sort of looks a bit like a fish, but it's got, you know, 12 flaps along the side. It's got two enormous claws at the front that look like the back end of shrimps or something like that. What else is there? There are worms that are covered in scales and have enormous spines along either side. There's some stuff that's just so weird it'd take me 20 minutes to even describe it. So it's a really interesting period in life history.
Well, why is that? Was that the explosion that occurred in
that's
biology
right.
at so, that time?
Yeah, so if you look 50 million years before these fossils, there's really nothing much living in the oceans, more than, you know, maybe a few seaweeds and that sort of thing. So very quickly, it seems that life diversified and created all of these, you know, all of these different body plans seem to emerge. And, well, you know, this is kind of weird that it would happen so quickly. And to be honest, you know, we still don't know exactly why that happened.
Is that sort of nature's experiment to see what body type and what kind of structure might win out over time?
Yeah, so one way of looking at it would be to say, well, you know, loads of different things appeared, loads of things evolved, and then extinction killed off the useless ones, and we just, you know, whether it's by chance or through some being better than others, we ended up with the variety of life today.
So you're not going to run out of things to study then?
That's right, there's plenty more of mysteries out there, and looking forward to trying to solve a few more.
All right, Martin Smith, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks very much.
Good luck to you on that quest. Martin Smith is Junior Research Fellow in Earth Science, University of Cambridge. That's there in Cambridge, UK.